Have you ever been around somebody that struggles with humility? It's not very fun, is it? They're not very fun people to be around. And I'd venture to say, at one point or another, maybe all of us in one way or another, struggle with this. James tells us in James 4, chapter 10, says, humble yourselves, not chapter 10, verse 10, humble yourselves, therefore, before the Lord, and He will lift you up. You see, true humility begins with knowing who God is and what we are not. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See, the trap becomes when we think that we know better. When we put ourselves, in a way, above God. Humility can be dangerous if we don't have it. Because the opposite of humility is pride. And that pride is something Satan really, really, really can hone in on. That pride can take down a lot of things. When I start to think it's all about me, that's when Satan wins. Being humble is recognizing that it's not all about me. That I don't know everything. And that I do need help. It was interesting this morning after worship, Valerie had mentioned to me, this morning had talked about Pharaoh and chasing Moses and the Israelites. And even though he saw the big wall, the big sea open up, what did Pharaoh do? He said, I'm going. I'm going to get him. You see, he had so much pride, he thought, hey, you know what, I'm going to do this. That decision led him down a not so good path. See, when we say to ourselves, oh, I'm going to do this, when I let my pride get in the way, I don't maybe make the best decisions that I should. Because I'm thinking of myself, I'm not thinking of what's God want me to do? What would the Lord have me to do in this situation? You see, when we see God's greatness, then our pride should fade away. Isaiah cried out in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5. He said, and I said, woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You see, Isaiah recognized the greatness of God and what God was. And Isaiah recognized what he wasn't. You see, when we start to play God, that's when Satan wins. We need to be like Isaiah and say, whoa, wait a minute here. Woe is me. I don't want to put myself on that pedestal. I don't want to put myself up there with God because I'm nowhere near what God is. And Satan's telling us just the opposite, isn't he? Satan is telling us, oh no, you need to do what you want to do and you need to put yourself first and you need to not worry about anything else but yourself. That's the trap that Satan throws. What happens if you take a candle that's lit and you take it outside in the middle of the day? Candle doesn't shine very bright, does it? It kind of fades with the sunlight. Our self-importance fades in the presence of God's glory. We've got to recognize who He is and what He's done for us. It's a good exercise for us daily to take time and to reflect on God's greatness. Because if I think about the greatness of God and if I reflect on that and I understand what that means, then I know that my heart will stay grounded where it needs to be. I'll be able to keep everything into perspective. What's the perspective? The perspective is, it's not about me. If I've made that choice to give my life to Christ, then I made that choice to give up my selfish ambitions. Now, unfortunately, it doesn't always work that way, does it? Unfortunately, sometimes we let that pride get in the way, or we let what we want to do get in the way, or we let Satan talk us into, yeah, it is all about you. And reality is, sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? It's hard for us to hear that, wait a minute, it's not all about me. You know, I want it to be, maybe, but it's not all about me. It's not about what I want. It's about what God wants. It's not about what I think. It's about what God thinks. So how do I keep it real? I humble myself. And I recognize that, yeah, God created me in His own image. And I'm special in His sight because I'm a creation of His. But it has to be His will and not mine. So humility looks like when we serve others before we serve ourselves. In Philippians 2, 5 and 7, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who through He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. Did Jesus do? Jesus emptied Himself. Think about where He was before He came to this earth. He was in heaven. He was with His Father. He had everything. What did it take for Him to come on this earth? He emptied Himself. And when He walked to this earth, yeah, He was the Son of God. And He was the Savior. And He knew that. But is that what He ran around shouting through the streets? Did He say, hey, look at me. Look at how good I am. Look what I can do. Watch this. He didn't say that. Jesus was humble. Jesus was a servant. You see, humility isn't thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. John chapter 13, Jesus shows an incredible example of what this looks like. John 13, starting at verse 12, says, when He had washed their feet and put on His outer garments and resumed His place, He said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call Me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you this example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Now you might think, what's the big deal? Jesus washed somebody's feet. Well, go back to the culture of that time and how it was back then. Did the master do the foot washing? No. That was a servant's job. And think about it for a second. It wasn't a very glamorous job, was it? They didn't come take off their nice tennis shoes when they walked into their house, did they? Yeah. If they had anything on at all, it was sandals, right? Or something like that. And they weren't walking on nice paved roads. Well, we don't have any of those around here. But if we did, they'd be walking on nice paved roads. No, they weren't walking on nice paved roads, were they? They're walking on dirt. Their feet are kind of disgusting to begin with. I don't know. Mine are ugly, but anyhow, it's a different story. They were nasty. The servants would wash the feet. I wouldn't say it was humiliating. I don't think it was that. But it wasn't the most fun job to do, I wouldn't think. And yet here Jesus, the Savior, the one who was with God when God created everything, our Lord and Savior, humbled himself and got on his knees and did the job that a servant would do. Why? He wanted to set the example. He wanted to show that we have to put others first. And I dare say if the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can do that, I'm pretty sure I can do that. Serving others, that's the true test of humility. When we put others first, that's showing Jesus in us. Maybe it's helping a friend with homework. Don't do it too good. Don't give them all the answers. Maybe it's helping somebody at work. Maybe it's volunteering for community. Maybe it's standing up for someone when they're being left out. All these different things show a humble heart and show the heart of a servant. How do we show Jesus others? Well, we do what Jesus did. We serve them. That's how we show Jesus others. You see, all of us, one way or another, can show Jesus. Can everybody get up and lead a Bible class? No. Can everybody get up and preach a sermon? No. Can everybody get up and lead singing? No. But everybody can show somebody else Jesus by serving them. And so what happens when we do that? What happens? What's the reward? What do we get when we serve others? Well, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6 says, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. God's going to take care of us. If we put others before us, if we put ourselves last, he may lift you up in due time. James 4:6 says, but he gives more grace, therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. There's got to be a reason this word shows up a lot in Scripture. Our society today struggles with this. Our culture today very much struggles with this. We are being told all over the place, whether it's through advertisements or other means of media communication or whatever, we're told, man, go get it. You go do whatever you have to do to be successful. Whatever it looks like in life, you go do what you have to do. If you have to lie about somebody at work to get that promotion, you go ahead and do it. If you have to fudge something a little bit to get ahead and work, you go ahead and do it. Because it's all about you. God wants you to be happy. Well, yeah. Yeah, God wants me to be happy. That's true. But it has to fit within the parameters of what God has set for us. And if you've been in corporate America, servant leadership isn't something that's always talked about, is it? Or always promoted. Because it's, you just get what you need to get, and you get it however you have to go get it. But that's not what God says. God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. If I walk around and say, hey, look what I've done. Look at me. Look how good I am. Look what I've accomplished. That gets kind of old after a while, doesn't it? You kind of don't want to be around me anymore. That's all you hear. How good I am, just ask me. That's not how God wants us to be. Matter of fact, it's just the opposite. Hey, look, let me tell you how good you're doing. Let me let you go first in line. Let me carry that for you. Let me help you with that. You see, we don't need to be first in line. We just need to be in line. And we have weak moments. We're having struggles and problems. That's when Satan jumps in. When things are going well. When things are good. Maybe things are going so well that I might forget to make sure my prayer life is what it needs to be. When I get in my head that, man, things are really going good at work and things are going well for me in my life. And yeah, man, look what I'm doing. We forget that that's because God is blessing us. It's not what I'm doing. We've got to be careful because Satan's right there waiting for us to get that attitude. You see, when we humble ourselves, God honors and blesses us in His time. That can be a struggle. He's going to take care of us. He promised us this. He promised us that if we obeyed Him and that we loved Him and honored Him, that He will take care of us. He promised Moses, He promised that He would deliver them from Pharaoh and the armies, and He did that. But you see, if I'm full of pride, that's not what God wants. God's not going to bless me with that. We have to trust God's process. And that is a challenge sometimes. Trusting God's process. We have to stay humble even when nobody is around. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. Jesus says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, and they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. What's Jesus saying? Don't do this for show. Don't stand on the street corners and tell everybody how good you are. Don't stand there and give this amazing prayer with all these 50-cent words that nobody knows what they mean. Don't shout out how good you are. Jesus says, when you pray, don't pray like the hypocrites. When we live our lives, we live our lives with humility. Not standing on the street corner, shouting out how good we are and how good we have it. Can't do things for show. First day of the week, we have opportunity to put our offering in. God didn't give us an amount, did he? He didn't say in the new covenant, okay, you're going to give 10% or you need to give 20%. He didn't say that. And he didn't say when you go put your check in there that you hold it up really high for everybody to see it. Watch me. That's not it either. You see, God looks at our heart when we do that. That's what God cares about. What's in my heart? Because God knows my heart. He knows what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling. He knows truly what's on my heart. When I humble myself, when I allow myself to get on my knees and say, God, I need you. We have to have the faith that he's going to honor that request. Don't do things for show, because it's not about me. It's about him. It's about serving him. It's about serving his people. It's about serving those that need to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. It's about sharing the gospel with as many people as we could share it with. It's not going to be easy all the time. It's not going to be fun all the time. It's not going to be convenient all the time. But you know what? It wasn't always fun for Jesus. It wasn't always easy for Jesus. It wasn't always convenient for Jesus. But he did it. He set that example. He got on his knees and he washed the feet of the disciples. We need to get on our knees. We need to humble ourselves. We need to wash the feet, so to speak. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for the love you show us. We thank you for that sacrifice that you sent Jesus on that cross for our sins. And Father, give us strength. Give us the ability to put others first, Father. Give us the courage to be okay with asking you for help. Father, help us take that pride out of our lives. Help us defeat Satan, Father. Father, help us to be like Jesus, to serve others, and to serve you. Father, we love you and we thank you. It's in your son's name we pray. And amen. See, humility is not a weakness, but it's a strength. It's a strength under control. When we recognize God's greatness, serve others selflessly, and trust God's timing, then we reflect the heart of Christ. He not only washed the feet of the disciples, but he allowed himself to hang on that cross where we should have been. He took our sins And he put him on his shoulder. And he said, I got you. I got you. But we have to accept it. If you're here this evening, if you've not accepted it, you don't have that assurance, that hope that's talked about. You don't have that peace that we read about in the scriptures. It's a choice. You all have to make that choice. If you're here tonight and you just need prayers from the church, you're going through some struggles, you're having a difficult time, Satan is working hard to pull you away from God. As we mentioned this morning, there's a wonderful thing called the family of God, our church family, and that we can pray with you and encourage you, and pray for each other and encourage each other. If there's something we could do for you this evening, come now as we stand together and as we sing.
Stand up, stand up.